This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Flames steal 2 points from the Yotes. I'll take it. But I'm still irritated. Calgary sneaks away with another last-second heroic win against the Arizona Coyotes. This is Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. It is episode number 12, November 6, 2019. And we are cruising along in this season. We're 18 games in for the Flames. That's more than like any other team in the league, which kind of bugs me. I kind of like being behind it. Games in hand, I don't know. I'm sure everybody will catch up here sooner or later. I know next week the Flames have a little bit lighter schedule, so that'll help them out. Plus they need it because, damn, they kind of look tired the other night. Tuesday night, they steal 2 points from the Coyotes in Calgary at the Saddle Dome. The place was, wouldn't say rocking at all. Everybody got there late because of the damn weather. Snow. Tired effort, though. I thought it was a tired effort. It's been stressful, hasn't it? It's been stressful to be a Flames fan this year. I don't know. Maybe we got spoiled last year. We did. This team was damn good last year, putting up points left and right. They didn't win last year. It was usually a pretty good game and just fell short a goal or whatever. And they were winning games one after another, streaks. Not so much anymore. Coach Peters was upset. Post-game conference, his quote, "Let's start on time. Let's get physically engaged. Hopefully we're able to make some changes because we look flat. We look comfortable. We look too comfortable." And boy, he's got it right. This team does look comfortable. Doesn't look good. I'm not liking it. Hopefully the Flames can get it put back together, get things back on track, and get back to their winning ways. There is a blessing, though. The Calgary Flames, believe it or not, are tied for third place in the Pacific. They have played downright atrocious and horrible. But they're still in it.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, the Hockey Podcast Network's got some huge news. Proud to be part of this network. They are off to a great start. 1 month in, every team has shows twice a week. And now, we're excited to announce a new podcast coming out on the network from former NHL player Terry Ryan. You've heard him on Spittin' Chicklets. The guy's amazing. He is hilarious. Knows a ton about hockey and loves to talk about it. He's joining the network now. He'll have a weekly show called Tales with TR, a hockey podcast. Check that one out on the Hockey Podcast Network. Hey, let's recap that Tuesday night game. I know we talked a little bit about it in the intro. Probably talked too much about it. Calgary does come away with 2 points. They give the Coyotes 1 point in the 4-3 overtime. But boy, it was a scary one if you're a Flames fan. Kind of a typical game if you're a Flames fan. Brody takes a penalty just over a minute into the game. Yep, that's par for the course. We're getting used to that. And the Flames look tired in my mind. They did. Now, I will cut them a little slack. 5 games in 9 nights on the road, 3 time zones. Yeah, they were everywhere. They had to do it all. It was grueling. It was difficult. But I don't know. I'm still a little frustrated. This team's got me frustrated. They only work hard when they're desperate. I get the feeling like they're only worried about the playoffs. Which, you know, quite honestly, I guess that's my take on it too. But damn it, we got to get to the playoffs. This league's too hard to give points away in October and November. I don't want to go into January, February playing from behind, trying to fight to get into the playoffs. Now, I know nothing matters with Calgary this year without playoff success. It doesn't. After last year's flame out in the first round, like nothing matters. And I understand that. And I know the players get that. They understand it too. But I feel like by the way they're playing, that it's okay just to coast and get into the playoffs and then go to work. I feel like a couple things we got to get figured out. And I know we're only in game 18 of 82. Like, I get it. But if we just sit back and go, oh, you know, we got the second half of the year to get this done, that's too late. We need to get lines clicking. We need to get pairings figured out. We need to get some things going. We need to gain points on a consistent basis. We're anything but consistent. Peters got frustrated. Third period, defensive pairings went in a blender. He's done it with the offensive pairings. That's a frustrated coach when he's trying everything and nothing seems to work. But the Flames figure out a way. They score two goals in 49 seconds late in the third period to tie the game. And then overtime hit. And I'm not going to lie, I laughed my ass off in overtime. It was a typical ragged, take your two-on-one chance. Just, you know, like overtimes had become. Remember when three-on-threes first started and teams just went for it? And it was back and forth. It was run and gun, and it was wild, and it was crazy. And then everybody said, I just wait for the coaches to ruin it, and they have. Now it's a possession game, and I guess I don't blame them. I mean, you get points are precious, so you got to do it. So I don't blame the coaches. But anyways, going back to my story, the boys on Fan 960 talked about it today. Corey Sarge had me rolling when he talked about watching the game last night and watching how Phil Kessel gets stuck out there for 2+ minutes in the overtime. He is dying, cannot move. Hands, I mean, the guy is not in shape to start with, so he does not have anything going for him. But holy cow, he is on a marathon shift. Tkachuk even said it in the post game how he saw tired players out there. Yes, that's you, Phil Kessel. Goligoski was out there for a long time too, but nobody was sucking air like Phil Kessel was. Tkachuk even stayed out there an extra because he saw the opportunity to catch a guy dead tired. And he scores on it, and it wasn't even a good goal. The goaltender looked tired too, like, or dizzy or something. I don't know. It just is an ugly one, but Tkachuk wins it in overtime again. His second game winner of the year. The guy's on fire, man. He is on fire. Good news in the game. First period, Johnny Gaudreau breaks that 13-game scoring drought. Well, it was his 13th game, so he had 12 games without a goal. He was pretty pumped. His quote was, obviously, it was not the way I wanted the last 12 games to go, but that's part of hockey. I've been through it before. Like I said this morning, as long as I'm getting my chances, you can't really get too frustrated. I had a lot of chances tonight, only found one of them, but it was nice to find the net. I agree with him on most of the quote. The part where he says he wasn't frustrated is not true, because it was visual. We could see that over the last week. The guy was over the top frustrated. I don't know. It was a win. It's 2 points. I was like, I got done watching the game. I was like, the Nashville game is like, oh, geez. Should I? I was happy, but like, should I be happy? I don't know. Didn't look like I should be happy, but I'm happy. We need the 2 points, but I don't know. Peters wasn't happy. He said, let's not hang our hat on this. Desperation in the third. Let's not be counting on this. This is not a recipe for long-term success. Hopefully we're able to make some changes because we look flat. We look comfortable. He keeps saying comfortable. God, could you describe it any better? They do. They look comfortable. This team's got to figure it out. This team's got to get going. And the team's got to get some points on a consistent basis.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
One of the problems the Flames have had this year, they just have been allowing too many shots. And this shocks me because this is so off character from the previous year. So off character. You know, when I played and when I coached, I always kind of had a little rule in my head that you never want to allow more than 30 shots in a game. And you always want to push to get more than 30 shots. It's kind of that magic number that gives you the best chance to win. If you can hold a team below and make sure you get more than 30, your odds of winning are pretty good. Well, in 2019-20, Calgary has allowed 582 shots on goal in 18 games. That is 32.33 shots on goal per game. That ranks dead last, 31st in the National Hockey League, dead last. Hello, this is probably one of the top three reasons we are sitting where we're sitting right now. Why we are struggling, why we're not even getting offense. Because if your defense isn't rolling, it's really hard to get the offense going. The defense creates the offense. And when we're spending more than any other time defending, any other team defending, and allowing more shots, that's putting stress on our goaltender, that's putting stress on our defense, that's not allowing our offensive talent to handle the puck and create opportunities, you're going to score less, allow more, lose games. In 2018-2019, Calgary allowed 2,302 shots in 82 games. That's 28.07 per game. We're allowing over 4 shots a game more this year. Now, 4 shots doesn't sound like a lot, but that last year we were ranked 7th in the league. That's top tier. In the 18 games this year, Calgary has allowed 30 shots or more 13 times. It's 5 games under 30. You can't play that much defense and expect to be successful. The league is just too hard. Just too hard. We're moving into the second month of the season now. Second month. It's hard to believe already, isn't it? Flames have played a lot of hockey, though. And after 1 month, let's talk about the surprises that we've seen this year thus far for the Calgary Flames. Because there's been a few. And the first one is, they've only got 9 wins in 18 games. That's kind of scary. Because I would have expected in 18 games to have 12 wins. Now, that's only 3 behind. But you know what? For us to have 9 wins right now is almost a little amazing because we haven't played well enough to win 9 games. Second surprise, Lindholm. I never thought he would have more goals than Gaudreau and Monahan combined. Now, I hope that when we talk after November, that that's not the case. Now, don't get me wrong. Lindholm's been probably the brightest spot. Riddick, the brightest spot in October. Lindholm probably 2, Tkachuk 3. I don't know. I pray that that's not the case after the end of the month. I want Gaudreau and Monahan to get going, because if your top guys aren't going, you're not going. We're not moving up the standings, I'll tell you that right now. A bright spot, Tkachuk, has 18 points in 18 games, 2 game winners, some clutch goals for Tkachuk. Lindholm leads the team with 10 goals, Monahan 11 assists. Lindholm leads the team with 4 power play goals. Derek Ryan is the plus minus leader with plus 4. I like Derek Ryan, but he's quiet out there. He's just effective. He's like that third, fourth line center that's just effective. He is. He's good for the team. Next surprising fact, that the Pacific, this is a shocker. This is probably the biggest shocker that of the 6 I have written down. This is probably the biggest shocker. That the top 3 teams last year in the Pacific Division, the 3 that held the 1-2-3 spot in playoffs, were Calgary, San Jose, and Vegas. None of them are in the top 3 this year after 1 month of the season. I don't think anybody would have predicted that. I don't think anybody would have. I would have also not predicted that the Calgary Flames would have only won two games in a row one time. One time. They've never won three in a row. They've only run one back-to-back games one time. Whew, that's not good. That's tough. You got to get on rolls. Teams got to gel and get on rolls. Final one, the final October surprise for the Calgary Flames. And this is another positive. I know I've been negative this year. And I knew this year when I started up the podcast, I'm like, oh man, am I going to jinx this team now? And is this team going to struggle? Because last year, if you would have heard me on these podcasts, you'd have thought I was the most positive guy in the whole world. I am a pretty positive guy, and I'll try to change that as soon as the Flames start changing it. Riddick, I believe that he has answered the starting goalie question already. 1 month in. That's great news. That's great news for a Flames fan. He's been good. 8 wins, 2.79 goals against average. He's been exactly what we could ask for. He said one for sure, two games where I would say he was not good. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. We'll take that any day if you're a Flames fan. He's convinced me that he's a starting goalie in the National Hockey League. Some Flames news and notes as we roll along on the show. Lucic back from his two-game suspension on Thursday night when the Calgary Flames go up against the New Jersey Devils at the Saddle Dome. What does that mean for the Flames? Well, I don't know. I was happy with one quote that Lucic said the other day when he met with the media, and that was that he's not going to change his mentality of protecting his teammates. That's good news, because I don't care if he's suspended for most of the year if he's protecting his guys. I'm good with that. I know that sounds barbaric, but it's the truth. It's why we have him. It's the only reason why we have him. He brings nothing else to the table. Absolutely nothing. Based off some of the post-game talk on Tuesday night, I'm kind of expecting Peters to make some changes. Shillington struggled on Tuesday night. He's been really good this year. Been a proponent of him. He's been good. I see Stone coming in for him. TJ Brody was awful. Flat out awful. Poor decisions, left and right. Was demoted down. Only got 14 minutes of ice time. Do we see him getting sat out? Would that help us? I don't know. I'm back and forth on that one. Part of me kind of wants Stone to step in with Shillington. Move Anderson up with Giordano and get Hanifin and Hamina going, because, boy, they were not good at all. Were they? Oof. I love our defense, but, man, were they bad on Tuesday night. That was the headline of the night, was how bad they were. And I hope that was just one game on the blip, and I'm not going to talk a lot about it because I pray that's what it was. But I wouldn't hesitate if I was Peters right now to set Brody a game. Let him watch from the press box. Maybe he'll hit the reset button. You know, if you remember last year, he started out the year kind of in a struggle bus too. And as the season went, kind of found his game. And I thought down the stretch last year, he was really good for the Flames. I've always kind of, he gets ripped all the time, so I kind of defend him. But right now I'm having a hard time because he has been a struggle. And a question for you Flames fans, does Lucic coming back from his suspension help our lineup? Or were the Flames better up on the front end without him? I think they're better on the front end without him. I would have him sit out right now. And I've talked about this in previous episodes, or I would utilize him in games like when you're playing Washington, when you're going up against a Tom Wilson, Vegas, when you're going up against a Ryan Reeves, San Jose, when you're going up against a Evander Kane. I would use him sparingly. I'd use him in situations where I need that deterrent out there. And games like New Jersey, games like Buffalo, games like LA, LA, you might want him in there, I guess. Games like Anaheim, Arizona, I don't think you need him in the lineup. I don't think he brings anything to the table. So I think those nights, you let him sit.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
The Hockey Podcast Network and Flames Unfiltered are very excited to also announce a partnership with Gong Show Hockey Apparel. Look for giveaways and stuff coming in the near future with Gong Show Hockey Apparel. Some real nice stuff from those guys. Check out their website, and we look forward to some giveaways. Let's take a trip around the NHL, talk about some other teams, talk about some other things going on in the league, and then I got a fan question that I don't know. Maybe you guys will like. I think it was pretty interesting. Chara, 1,500th regular season game. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? 21st player in the NHL history to play 1,500 regular season games. Man, that's crazy. Marlowe's got, he's up there at 1,668. Thornton's at 1,581. They're the only active guys to have that many. Jágr, the old Flame, short-term Flame, 1,733. Lidstrom was 1,564. He's was such a horse on defense, man. But that 1,500 milestone is huge. He's just the sixth defenseman. It's tough to say. And all of the five previous to him are Hall of Famers. So I think he's making his way there too. We are one month into the season. We've talked about that quite a bit on the show. Pasternak has been hot. Marchand has been hot. They are players that are definitely on fire. Most assists. I mean, Pasternak's just been off the charts with just points on a nightly basis being consistent. Consistent. Most goals by a team in one game, the Canucks, 8. Are we happy the Canucks are good? Are we happy that the Oilers are good? I don't know. Here's two other stats. We'll talk about these because God knows the Calgary doesn't do this. Most shots in a period, 54 Golden Knights against Ottawa. That's not a period, sorry, in a game. Next one, most shots in a period. That was 25 by the Flyers against Edmonton. It's always fun to see Edmonton struggle. But you know what? Let's talk about that. Vancouver and Edmonton are both off to good starts this year, even though Edmonton got crushed tonight by St. Louis. Are we happy as Flames fans? I mean, obviously, they're our biggest two rivals, so we don't want them doing well. But are we happy that they're relevant again? Because doesn't it make it more fun? Like, no knock on San Jose and Anaheim, but I mean, if we're going to play rivals in meaningful games, boy, I'd much rather get pumped for a Canucks or an Oilers game than a Sharks or Ducks game. I don't know. That's just how I feel. I'm glad they're relevant. I'd kill for a playoff matchup. How fun would that be? Especially if we won. Hey, hockey fans, remember, November is Hockey Fights Cancer Month. I've made my donation. I do every year. Cancer is just affects so many people, and every dollar counts. Check out Flames Unfiltered. Click on the Hockey Fights Cancer link. Make your donation. Every dollar counts. I don't care if it's $1. Please help out. Do your part and save as many people as we possibly can. Fan question. I've seen this twice this week on various Calgary Flames Facebook pages. And there's a lot of talk about it now just because tomorrow night New Jersey comes to town and Calgary native Taylor Hall is part of the Devils. Now, Taylor Hall does not have a contract at the end of the year, and all signs show that he's not real happy in New Jersey. So what happens when a player's not happy? The trade rumors start flying and flying and flying, and every team's got him coming to their team. Well, a lot of people have pinpointed Hall as a possibility to go to Calgary because he's from Calgary. Couple problems with that is cap space. Yeah, no, we don't have any. So for us to get him, we'd have to clear a lot of cap space, which we wouldn't want to give up good players and clear cap space that way because then it would be a lateral move. Some people have suggested, you know, you trade Monahan or Gaudreau for Hall, which I think is ludicrous in the fact that, yeah, I've been frustrated with Gaudreau and I've been really frustrated with Monahan. And I honestly wouldn't lose a ton of sleep if we did trade one of those two. But I sure wouldn't want to trade him for a Taylor Hall, not knowing if we're going to have him signed. Because Taylor Hall could get traded to Calgary at the end of the year and say, I'm out. You can't afford to give me what I want. Now, if there was a sign and trade, I would actually be very open to that. I would trade either one of the two for Taylor Hall. I would. Call me crazy. Monahan's one of my favorite players on the team. I got an autographed game jersey right behind me or as I'm recording right now. But I think we'd be a better hockey team. Now, the second one is one for this year. This rumor was flying that Brody and Jankowski to the Devils, along with a second or first rounder for Taylor Hall. Now, I could see that. Brody's $4 million and Jankowski's 1.6. I think Brody's 4.5 and the 1.6 would get you just the amount of space that you would need to bring a $6 million Taylor Hall in. That makes the Flames better because then you shuffle Lindholm to center and you have Lindholm, Monahan, Backlund, and Ryan as your centers. You put Hall on the first line left wing. I mean, man, or you could run Lindholm, Hall, and Tkachuk. Gaudreau, Monahan. I mean, we could. Wow, would it be fun to play with the lines then? Oh, man, could we be good. I also heard Bennett on the move, Frolik on the move for Hall. All these are speculations. And you know what? I have no inside information that any of these would or could or will happen. I think as fans and media, when people see Taylor Hall's from Calgary, the talk just starts happening. I did hear from a reliable source that while in Calgary this week, Taylor Hall's agent was meeting with the Devils. So we'll see how that goes and we'll see if anything comes of that. Here's one of the questions you'd have to ask before signing him. He's in his final year of a $6 million contract. I'm projecting he would be wanting around $8 million next year. Maybe even more. Could Calgary, number one, afford that? Would Calgary want to afford that? Or is that just going to magnify and cast-strap us even more? Because we've all learned this year, along with about 24 other teams in the National Hockey League, that living and playing up to the cap sucks. Because I guarantee you, if we weren't having some cap issues right now, we would have seen a few young guys like a Dubé or somebody coming up from Stockton. We just don't have flexibility right now. It makes it tough. It makes it difficult. But that's the way the NHL is now. That's the way it is. I know that trade is a little far-fetched, and I would put the odds of something happening with Taylor Hall coming to Calgary at a low percentage, but boy, would that be fun, and boy, could you really, really shake up the lines, and he would bring a ton to Calgary and make things instantly better. Wow, would he be a talent. Game previews. We've got two exciting games coming up here as we close out the week. New Jersey heads into Calgary tonight, Thursday, November 7th. New Jersey's played 13 games this year, five less than Calgary. Isn't that crazy to think that? 4-5-4, 12 points. They're in dead ass last in the Metro. That's a shocker because a lot of people have been pegged to be a playoff team this year with all the young talent that they have. But Corey Schneider has still not found his game. This team's been struggling, and that's why they find themselves in last in the Metro. Calgary, 18 games played, 9-7-2, 20 points, tied for third, three-way tie in the Pacific. Now, this is a must-win for Calgary in my mind. I know you're like, well, how do you figure it's a must-win? This is game 18. We're not sitting too far. We're in a wild card spot. Like, how do you do this? Well, you need to beat weaker opponents. So I had a conversation with a Canucks fan earlier this week, and I said, yeah, but your schedule's been so weak. And he says, yes, it has been a week, but we've won all the games that we were supposed to win. And I'm like, geez, you got a good point. You've got to win those games. You've got to win those games that are, I don't want to say easy games, because nothing's easy in today's National Hockey League. But when you're playing the last place team in the Metro, you got to pick up those 2 points, especially in your own barn. And New Jersey is coming off a 2-1 overtime win in Winnipeg Tuesday night. And Calgary is coming off a 4-3 overtime win at home to Arizona on Tuesday night. So both teams coming in on a high. Players to watch. For New Jersey, I got Taylor Hall. How could I not? I just got done talking about him. Calgary native comes back home. He's got 13 points, 13 games, 2 goals, 11 assists. Player to watch in Calgary, Johnny Gaudreau. He has got that monkey off his back. Can he grow on that and put up some more points and see if he can't get into a hot streak? Then on Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, the late game, St. Louis, the Stanley Cup champions, come into the Saddle Dome to take on the Calgary Flames. St. Louis, 17 games played. They are 11-3-3, 25 points, first in the Central Division, coming off a huge win against our arch rival Edmonton Oilers tonight. And Tuesday night, back-to-backs, they beat Vancouver last night. Let's talk a little bit about that one. They were up on Vancouver late in the third. Vancouver scores to tie it up. It goes to overtime. Now, as soon as I got done watching the Calgary overtime, I was quickly flipping over to watch this game, and this one goes overtime. Now, we laughed about the Phil Kessel moment in our overtime. Well, they had a funny one, too. Vancouver was very aggressive offensively, got three men in deep. Two guys ran into each other. Tyler Myers was tied up behind, and there was a 3-on-0. And this just wasn't a normal 3-on-0, not that they're ever really normal. But this was, quite honestly, the funniest 3-on-0 I've ever seen in hockey. It looked like a beer league game. It was a 3-on-0 where not one player from Vancouver was over the red line when the three Blues were standing in front of Markstrom. None. Now, they almost bobbled it, but they were able to bury it. Vancouver's goalie freaks out, breaks his stick. Game over. Canucks get a point. Blues get two. Craziest overtime goal I've seen scored in a long, long time. Blues got, they played back-to-back, like I said, Tuesday and Wednesday. They have Thursday, Friday off, and meet the Flames on Saturday night. Player to watch for the Blues that night, Brandon Shen. 10 goals, 15 points in 16 games. He is on fire. And, you know, there's certain games you get excited for when you look at the schedule. And when you have the Stanley Cup champions coming into town, a team that struggled last year for 60% of the year, and then came in and showed us all that you can win a Stanley Cup after being in last place after Christmas, which is not something the doctor ordered. I don't know. Revenge. You want to see? You always want to beat the Stanley Cup champions. If you can't get up to beat the champion, I don't know. You'll never get up for anything then.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey.
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.